All right, brother, let's open up Mark chapter 4 this morning. I pray I have a message for you. I hope I do. And I'm confident what's said here is important. It's important for me to hear, and be important for you to hear too. We'll get in there in Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And he began speaking of Christ, and he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables. And he said unto them in his doctrine. There's so many people there. So this parable he's about to give is not something privately to a real select group. These are some backdoor discussions. This is broad, and there's so many people. This place was so full, I had to stand in the back of a pickup truck out in the parking lot to preach to people. It'd be a lot of people. He had to be in a boat on the seaside. So completely within the sound of his voice, what he was telling them is broadcasted. So what does he say? There, Mark 4, verse 3, hearken. I hope this morning I can hearken. I hope you can hearken. Christ, the God-man, speaking to these people, and he said, listen. Pay attention. Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, but because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, and it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him a parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, these things are done in parables. He's speaking to the people there that listen, the bulk of it. The Lord warns us constantly of wheat and tares. We're not to sort it out. But he's saying here, I speak in parables. I'm not plainly telling them why. That seeing they may see and not perceive. They saw Christ standing there. They didn't see him. They didn't see that God man, did he? And hearing they may hear and not understand. Words came out of the mouth. Their ears, that ear bone vibrated. Their brain heard words coming. They didn't hear in their heart. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. They didn't want to hear. They didn't want to see. It's their heart. He said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? The Lord's saying this simple, simple parable. Every one of us here, you might be a meat eater or a vegetarian, but we all know what vegetables are, don't we? And even the young little boys, you can take them guys and show them a seed, a corn, and explain to them, you put this in the ground, it dies and it rots. Water gets to it and it springs up and there's life in it. And then there's more seeds on top of whatever that fruit is or that plant. They're all after the same kind. This is something we all can see, touch, and feel. We can see it with our eyes and we can hear it easily. Something we can understand. And the Lord's saying, you don't know this parable, you don't understand. How are you going to understand these more complicated parables that are to come? So we need to, he's going to explain to them. That, and also in this spot, the Lord was plain, gave instruction. I think I told you this before. He said, he that hath ears, let him hear. And then everybody kind of went away. And those disciples and those apostles, boy, that's somebody I'd be just amazed to speak to with the wisdom and the faith that the Lord gave those men. They ain't much different than me. They whispered to the Lord, Lord, what'd you mean by that? You know, I don't get it. And does he cast them away? Does he say, You don't know this parable? How are you going to understand the other ones? And he just leaves them. No, of course not. Our Redeemer is faithful. He's kind and patient to us. He's long-suffering. Boy, I would need that. So what does he say there in Mark 4 and verse 15? Sorry, verse 14. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endured for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution ariseth from the word's sake, immediately they were offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. Now there's four types of ground the Lord lists here. In a simple parable we can understand. We can go out in our backyard and look at these things. Something we can look in His creation to see. He lists four types of ground. And He tells us to hearken. What He's saying is vitally important. Now, there's a lot of ground in this state. That's what Don was telling me. He didn't help me with confidence. He wasn't helping himself and helping me to come out here. From San Francisco to the Mexican borders, 1/10 of the population of our nation is down here. That's a lot of ground. That's a lot of people, isn't it? But 3 out of 4 of these types of ground, they're not profitable. There's no fruit given out of them. That's concerning. We should hearken to these things. We should pay attention. So who's this sower the Lord's speaking of? Who's the one that sows the seed? That's the preacher. That's the man sent of God. That's what I'm doing now. I'm standing up here and I'm sowing seed. I'm broadcasting, as they used to say. 1 Corinthians said, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have," Paul speaking of himself, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything," the guy that plants the seed ain't worth nothing, "neither him that watereth," he's just dumping water on the ground, "but God that giveth the increase." I pray today the Lord will give us some increase. So what's this seed that the sower throws out? It's the Word of God. It's the message of free grace in Christ. That's the seed. This is what the sower carries, and he spreads it liberally anywhere he can throw it. Now, there's a few things with this that we can understand. We can understand going out and planting grass seed in our yard, can't we? The one that's sowing, he didn't make the seed. Seed was, wasn't it? The Lord said that. Said, "The words I speak, which are not my words, but are the words of he that sent me." I don't invent things to tell you. I don't come up with new ideas to challenge your thinking. I just throw the seed. Tell you the truth. What else is with this seed? There's life in a seed. We all know that. John 6:63 says, "In the Spirit, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." These words come and that's where life is. Let's turn to 1 Peter real quick. We'll look at this one. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. Grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever." That seed, that life that's in it, endures forever. "And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." We come into this world through seed. Seed of Adam. seed of our fathers. And we understand those things. We teach that in high school, don't we? Health class. They explain how that works. But there's an incorruptible seed that we're in need of. What this seed is naturally, that's corruption. Two sinners have a baby, it's a sinner. But what's this? How can we have a seed in us? There has to be a new birth, don't they? That seed has to be planted, that new life put in us. James 1 says, of His own will He begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creature. That's what comes from seeds, fruit, isn't it? After its own kind. So we saw what that seed is. Now what's this ground? What are these different types of ground? That ground is the hearts of men and women. There's dirt inside of me. We're made from the dirt, aren't we? So who's a hard ground? First one listed there, back in Mark 4, verse 15. We're going to look here at what the Lord explains to us instead of in the beginning. We're getting verse 15. The hard ground. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, right then, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. These people, they hear briefly, and then it's gone. As fast as it lands on that hard ground, it's swooped away by the birds. And we know this happens. There's people that come through the doors, and they sit, and they hear a man stand up and speak to them, and it's like a hard ground, and a seed hits it. It bounces off. It no more comes, and it goes. It goes quickly. But that ground's used for a purpose, isn't it? Whenever you walk on, that's a pathway. That's what the wayside is. If I got a garden, I got a little path around it. I got to get to all my stuff. And that's on purpose. And I use that pathway, but even weeds don't grow on it. It's just trampled down. There's just nothing there at all. We see this happen sometimes at believers' funerals. There'll be a lot of family there, people that don't care anything about any gospel at all. They don't care about a false religion or a true religion. But they show up and they hear faithful seed being broadcast during that. And it's in one ear and out the other as if it never happened. They could have got up and read off football scores and it wouldn't have made any difference to them. They come and go. But that ground's hardened. Because he walked on it. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, wasn't it? His ground was hardened. Exodus 7 says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Lord used that on purpose. That hardened ground's on purpose. People will always get pretty angry with me when they talk about that. I was talking this morning, the slanders and the naysayers, but they charge God foolishly. They said, well, the Lord sends people to hell. He predestines to hell. He hardens their hearts. But we think those things because we don't understand what the word means. We're looking at this, the Lord being mean to us or something like that, that He's making it do us. Because people think that because they think their heart's good. I think that inside of me is something good. You just always want to, and people tell you that. They lie to you, but they tell you that. Inside of me, there's some loose dirt in there. I can take a seed if I wanted to. But they don't see that their nature's hard. Whenever you think of hardening, you all walked on concrete. You seen them little kids, you all see them concrete trucks going up and down the road. What are they doing? They're spinning, ain't they? Why? Because if you stop spinning concrete, if you stop working concrete, it hardens. Why does it do that? That's its nature. That's the way it's made. If the Lord stops working in somebody, they're going to harden. How did He harden Pharaoh's heart? He just took His hand off of it. He stopped stirring it. That's all that it is. But that's that hard ground. So what's this stony ground? There in Mark 4 and 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately received it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time, but afterward when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. There's no conflict in that ground. There's a little bit of loose dirt, just enough for the seed to take off, but there's no roots that grow deep to weather the storm. There's no sacrifice, no hardships. It says there's no root in themselves. There's no effort. There's no true God-given conviction to that ground. There's no God-given faith. There's no commitment. Roots aren't established. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 6 real quick. Luke 6 and verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. If somebody does this, I'm going to show you what he's like. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. There was no establishment of that root and that seed, same as like building a house on the sand or building a house on a rock. What's that rock we build on? What are those trials and stuff that force us to dig deep, to look for that rock? It's to Christ, isn't it? That's what we're set on. We had corn planted in Kentucky, and I babied it. I had a little tiny corn patch, and I watered it and watered it and watered it and watered it. Made sure all it's growing so pretty, and what you could see above ground was beautiful. But the winds came. Well, those roots didn't have to grow deep. They didn't have to go looking for that water. They didn't have to dig looking for the bottom. And so the first little wind, it wasn't even strong. I went out one morning, all my corn's laid over. And those root bulbs stick up. The roots grew out, not down. But the root is the strength of the plant. It's not what above ground that's strong. What you see, the strength of that plant's in the root. That's what holds it. But what's hidden, that's what's strong. But where does the Lord look? Does He look on the outside? Does He look at our flowers and our leaves? He looks what's on the heart, doesn't He? He looks at those roots on the inside, what He's planted. Now, there's a spiritual warfare going on inside of me, inside of you, inside of this world that we fight with. But a war, when those trials come that makes those roots grow deep, war doesn't end whenever you hear the gospel. That warfare inside of you, that's when it begins. No man will believe that there's two natures in him until he has two of them. And they fight. And it's a war. Spirit doesn't lead us into battle into the world with men and their logic. We're led into battle against ourselves. We take sides against ourselves with God on the inside. But a war isn't fought 2 days a week. We fought that spiritual warfare here on Wednesdays and Sundays, and everything else is peace. There's a truce, ceasefire during those times. No. I've been there. Struggle, war, there's a struggle on a battlefield when you're out fighting the war. But whenever you're back in your room at night and during those times off, you're at war whenever you take a shower. You're at war when you eat. You're at war when you sleep. It's always. The whole time you're in that country, you're at war. And as long as I'm going to be in this body, in this country, or this flesh, I'm going to be at war at all times. The danger is real, constantly. So what's this thorny ground? We'll go back to Mark chapter 4 there in verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Look back up there in Mark 4 and verse 7. Look what it says. It says, some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. He words this twice for us. That ground there is a little bit different than the other grounds, isn't it? First, the wayside, that hard ground, the seed lands, it doesn't do anything. It just bounces off and the birds come in and take it away. And the second, the stony ground, it sprouts up real quick, gets excited. It's pumped up for it. But it dies off at the first sign of struggle. Now what's this? This one here, the stony ground, it grows a little longer. Somebody that may have a head knowledge of this, they may weather a couple storms, accept the Word of God, they may make a profession of faith. Maybe they'll preach. They're in the Scriptures, maybe they've cast out devils. But are the people that were... This is the same as the ones troubling the Galatians, isn't it? They had a knowledge of this. They accepted that this was the fact. and told people about it, but there were a lot of thorns around them. But what happens? What happens to this ground's downfall? It says there in verse 19, the cares of the world, like Bob was saying the other day, those Puritans, I'm jealous of them. They had an advantage over us. They didn't have television. They was able to study and pay attention real well, aren't they? But there's so many cares I have of this world that pull me away, things that occupy my time. We have so many. There's a lot of people care about football and work and family, chores, their houses, things we need to care of, we're responsible for, but they're just like a sponge, pull your time away. It says they're the riches. We want a bigger TV to watch those things on, don't we? We want better tickets to those football games. We want better clothes for that family. We want a bigger house to put a ball in. We desire those riches and everything else. There's a lot of people that will agree with what we preach, but they have a lot of other things going on. They don't have time for the Word of God. It's, oh, I believe exactly what you believe, but I don't have time for it. They have more important things to do instead of meet with the Lord's people in fellowship and gather together to look towards Christ. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. When I studied this and I read that, I stopped and I considered, is that me? Is that thorny ground who I am whenever I look at myself? And that made me consider, and I worried about those things. But you know what I was brought into more remembrance of? To throw all my cares on the Lord. I pray He makes me know this, that I'm His, that He will keep me, that I can see His goodness, that I can know how secure I am in Christ. That's what I pray for. Make me forsake everything else in my life, Lord, and cling to You. Let me see us in myself. Let me see what You've done. But we see all these things around us, and we think they're all right. But Christ is telling us here, this is a briar patch. So I can dabble. I'm here, and I've faithfully come to hear the Lord, and I have a good pastor that teaches me sound doctrine, and I'm safe. But I can entertain these things. I can dabble a little bit in these things. The Lord said, this is a briar patch. You're gonna get poked. You can have the best house and a new car and a lot of money in the bank, and you won't be satisfied. I have a friend that he's bought one house after another, and everything he looks for, new vehicle, and oh, as soon as I get that, I'll be happy. And he ain't. And then the next one, and all these things in the world, they don't satisfy. You know, everybody wants to be happy. I think I told you before, happy, we get the word happy from the word happenstance. It means every now and then. Not all the time. This eternal or constant happiness everybody talks about, that's a falsehood. It's not possible. Not what the word means. But what is fulfilling? What can satisfy? What can you lay a hold of on this earth that can give you peace, really, and really give you rest? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Do we do that? Do we build our life around the gospel, or do we build the gospel around our life? Do we fit time in for study? Do I? I'm asking myself. I'm not picking on you. Do I set time aside every day to read the Lord's Word and concentrate on it, not with my mind somewhere else? Do I have time to attend services faithfully? Or do I get cast away with all these thorns and briars? People say, well, I'm busy. I have to feed my family. You're right. You do. The Lord gave you responsibilities in this earth, and you have to attend to them. But Noah built the ark, and he walked with God. Amos took care of sheep. He walked with God while he tended to them. We can be busy, but where's our hearts? Where's our hearts settled? I pray the Lord keep us. I pray He makes us that good ground. And that's what's next there. Mark 4, verse 20. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Let's turn over to Matthew 13. It might help us a little bit to understand this good ground by reading Matthew's account of this. Matthew 13 and verse 23. He that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth fruit, and some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. This good ground is something that hears the word, receives that seed, and it understands what it has. So what's some good things, some things we need to notice here about this good ground? One, there's no good ground by nature. The soil doesn't till itself. It has to be worked. It doesn't show up that way. A farmer doesn't buy land and just throw seed down and hope it grows. I do that. We got a small farm here in New Jersey. And I pick where my garden wants to go, and I plow it. And I move the thorns out of the way. I go weed eat some places, and other places I let go. Because that's my land, and I put it where I want it. And there's stones in that ground, and sometimes I'll till it, and I'll go through and I'll hand pick every one of them stones out. And I put the stones somewhere else on my property. I use them for a pathway or something. I do that. That's my ground. I can understand that, because I do it every day, don't I? We can understand that. The Lord does that to His ground. To those hearts of men and women. He comes through, He plows, and He plows deep, looking for that foundation for them roots to go easily down. He churns that ground up. That ground was dead, no life in it, but He quickens it. He cuts deep and removes those stones and clears those thorns, and He prepares it to receive that seed. And then whenever that seed goes in, it's heard and understood. Put a seed in and it grows up. But what do they understand? What does that good ground understand? Well, they understand what the Word says about sinners, don't they? They understand themselves. They know there's no good in Him. They understand what the Word says about God. He's holy. He demands righteousness. They understand that what the Word says about Christ, that is our righteousness. His blood cleanses from all sins. We understand how God, or how Christ died, that God may be just, but still be the justifier, don't we? And they're complicated things. We can understand that. The Lord shows us that because He prepares our hearts. He plants the seed. And all of this, it'll result in what? Fruit. Some bring forth more, some bring forth less, but all have the same fruit from the same vine, don't we? What do we do with that seed? That seed of life is put in our plowed hearts. It springs up, it grows, and then it's spread again. And it keeps going generation after generation. But the seed's not, is always after its own kind. If I have an ear of corn and I dry it, and I put that corn seed in the ground the next year, what's going to come up? Corn. And I'll take that ear and dry it, and I got seed for the next year. If I plant tomatoes, what's going to come up? If corn came up, if I planted tomatoes, I'd be worried, wouldn't you? But it's after its own kind. Look in Genesis 1. I lost my place in my notes. Genesis 1, I know it's there. Verse 12. Genesis 1, 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit. Though seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. How's that seed work? The gospel hasn't changed one bit from Adam. Them boys of Adam went out and made sacrifices to the Lord, wouldn't they? And Cain's was rejected and Abel's was accepted. How'd they know that? They didn't have an Old Testament. They didn't have a New Testament. Adam told them. Boys, here's what the Lord did for me. And nothing's changed till this day. I was naked, He clothed me. As a sacrifice that needed to be made, He provided it. Stays the same. It's after its own kind. So how do these seeds grow? How are they going to grow? Turn to the right a little bit, Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 2. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, and the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. He's going to water it. That doctrine of free grace in Christ is going to do it. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. What else is he going to publish? Nothing. That's it. He'll only publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. He's the one that spreads that water on it and makes it grow. So those that hear this word and reject it, those that hear it and gladly receive it, do you know what those two people have in common? Out of those four types of ground, there's only two types. There's those that fruit comes forth and those that fruit doesn't come forth. But they have something in common. They're accomplishing the Lord's purpose. We get upset. I hurt. I've been hurt. Still hurt. People come in, they're like that stony or the thorny ground. They make profession of faith, and I think, boy, they're a better believer than I am, the more zealous than I am. I wish I could learn something from them. And then how quick I get pulled away. And it's just sad. Oh, man, you have pain in you. But that's on purpose. That's accomplishing the Lord's will. In Isaiah 55, we'll turn over there and we'll close. Isaiah 55, verse 10. Here's how the Lord, what he uses to accomplish his work with it. Isaiah 55:10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it forth, bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And for what? And for those he purposes to be the good ground, those that he's prepared, those that he's tilled. What does he say there in verse 12? For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Brethren, if you're made of dirt, if you're from Adam, I pray that the Lord will show you. Dirt can't till itself. Only that farmer can. Only that landowner can. I pray the one that owns you, he shows you that he owns you. I pray he plows your heart. He removes those stones, removes those briars and thorns, and doesn't leave you hardened to yourself. Hope he covers you with that good seed and brings life in it. And then what are we going to do? Proclaim the name of the Lord, won't we? We have nothing to brag in ourselves. That dirt's nasty. It's full of worms and manure and everything else. What does he do? He makes that work on it. He uses that for good. His word accomplishes good. Oh, I pray if he gives you that, come to him. You need watered. He's that water of life, and he'll freely give it. It ain't gonna run out. Fountain ain't gonna run out. He's got every bit of it.